Fifth Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. We're going to continue our study in the patriarchs, and I hope you're enjoying this study. It's kind of different, I must say. The patriarchs told stories, and these stories were passed down through the ages, actually. Tales of the creation of the flood, and of the patriarchs and their families started circulating as long ago as the events themselves. Scribes probably did not begin to write down the lore of the Hebrews, the descendants of Abraham, until King David's reign in the 10th century B.C., By then, many of the tales recorded were already centuries old, but they had been preserved and passed along through a much respected tradition, storytelling. The tradition of storytelling was shared by all the peoples of the ancient Near East. Tales traveled throughout cities, villages, desert camps and the Euphrates to the Nile. The same story might become a part of the lore of many different peoples, or it might be unique to a single tribe. The key to preserving all these tales was the storyteller. For while parents surely told their children of long-remembered events, perhaps of Abraham and the Exodus, or of divine guidance in the wilderness, there were many also gifted individuals who performed that role for their community. It might be a shepherd who was admired for his expertise, or who told his tales to the extended family in open field. Or perhaps it was a celebrated artist who recited by request at the festival gatherings. But the storyteller's job was more than simply entertainment. His stories preserved the identity and the collective memory of his people. Storytelling, until writing became common, memory was invaluable, since without it, ideas were lost forever. Thus, the capacity for total recall was formidable. Among the ancients, a great storyteller might memorize an epic of some 30,000 lines of poetry as part of his repertoire. The ability to memorize through constant repetition, it was a skill, still is, to be admired by people of the Near East, including the Hebrews. Learning by repetition was almost as important to the people who listened to the stories as it was to the performer. They expected familiar tales to be told the same way each time they heard them. Rarely would listeners let the storyteller invent something new, something, well, I've never heard that one. Well, you know, they had to tell the story accurately, and it had to be the same way it was told before. If it was an event that took place, they shouldn't, you know, be able to manufacture different events, or what's the use of it? I mean, anybody can make up a story. But these were events that actually happened. It was truth. It wasn't something old that was made up and just as entertainment like we have today, these film and everything that is not really true most of the time, but something made up, something that is that was concocted out of the mind of somebody. But these were actual events And the truth was very important to get out and to be accurate every time it was told. Now, although he might add embellishments or weave in variations as his listeners responded to his story, the basic form and meaning of a tale could not be touched. It belonged to the people. The fixed storyline helped them maintain links with the past and keep history rooted in the things they knew to be true. Nevertheless, the oral tradition itself, to a great diversity of forms, lends itself to a great diversity of forms. Genealogies served as historical records. Proverbs provided memorable nuggets of instruction or codified acceptable behavior, and prophecies forecast the possibilities and dangers of the future. Poetry was common in all cultures. With an oral tradition, the rhythmic cadence of songs, psalms, hymns, and laments served as an aid to memory, both for the storyteller and his audience. In addition, many types of stories were told as pure narratives. Gripping tales of the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden, of Noah in the ark, Jacob's wooing of Rachel, Joseph sold into slavery, and Moses and the Exodus fascinated listeners for ages before the stories were written down, actually. Now, for the Hebrews, two powerful forces gave authority to the voice of the storyteller. He spoke for their history, and he told the story of God's dealings with Israel. While the storyteller might incorporate details from material that was shared by other cultures, the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, for instance, was known to the Egyptians in somewhat a different form. His tales inevitably reflected the Hebrews' faith in a single God and God's special relationship with them. As these tales were gathered, put in order, and written down over a course of five centuries, beginning about 1000 BC, they formed the basis of the Bible and a record of who the Hebrews were and where they had come from. For hundreds of years after scribes first began writing their stories, the spoken word remained a powerful force among the Hebrews. Memory was still the storehouse of tradition, and the oral tradition would continue side by side with the written, finding it most heartfelt expression in religious ritual. As long as memory preserved the faith, it could never be destroyed. Now, sharing these traditional stories of faith has always been a cherished part of the Jewish life. In ancient times, such tales might be recalled at a gathering of a family. In open air, present-day Jews continue the tradition at the Passover Seder, celebrated by a family. And these things are always told at these gatherings. So this is just a little bit about these things. You know, I bet you thought that the Bible was something you could just ride your camel to the nearest drugstore and buy it. No, it's these things were protected through memory a lot of times. Telling these words and these stories down through the ages over and over and over again. And then, of course, we have the inspired Word of God. the inspired, whether it be inspired through different people or, but it is as they, the Bible ultimately, let's get this straight, was, it was written and shared as the Holy Ghost moved within the people. Let's make that very clear. As the Holy Ghost moved in the people, this is the Bible. It wasn't just by memory or storytelling, totally, but these things were something that were passed down. You know, it's a pencil and paper was not that easy to come by. And there were many types of things told the ancient Near East. Some were based on the doings of historical figures, kings, queens, and heroes, whose adventures were often spiced and telling with magical events, mythic beasts, and superhuman deeds. The other stories, such as that would become the part of the Old Testament, were about ordinary people. They're concerned about raising children, increasing their flocks, and tending their wells were identical to those of people who listened to the tales, yet these individuals also wrestled with a force that was larger than life, trying to follow the will of God. And there were other stories that explained the hows and whys, the fundamental events and beliefs, the creation of the world, the concept of paradise and the deluge, among others. Different versions of these tales appeared in the oral traditions of people throughout the region. Though some may have sprung up independently, others probably derived from a single source and spread by word of mouth. One of the great centers of culture at the time of the patriarchs was Babylonia, whose oral tradition was widely influential. Themes from Babylonian tales resurfaced in stories told by the Hittites and Canaanites, as well as the Hebrews. Travel was a way of life for many people in the ancient world, and a good story traveled with them. There's creation stories. A poem called Enuma Elish is thought of as a Babylonian Genesis, but though it and the Bible story tell how the world was created out of chaos, they also differ dramatically, starting at the beginning of time when the universe was nothing but water. The Babylonian tale explains how two powerful oceans, Apsu and Tiamat, joined forces as husband and wife to create the gods, who would represent the physical features of the world. The first to appear were the two gods named Lachmu and Lachamo, who represented silt. Next came the horizons, Ashar, Anshar, and Kishar. Then Anu, the sky, and Anu's child, A, who was earth. According to the tale, more gods would be created and battles would be fought among them before the world would look at it as it does, before the Tigris and Euphrates would flow where they do in Mesopotamia, and before Babylon could be established there. Enuma Elish was traditionally told on the fourth day of each new year's celebration. So these stories come out of the pagan tribes as well. So they had their own basic tales being told. But please remember that the Bible itself, holy men moved. Holy men wrote it as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how the Bible is described as being created. Let's stop there. We'll take this up tomorrow. And go to our website, krciradio.com, and leave us a message. Let us know you're listening. And call us, 928-368-6766. Let us know that you're out there. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.